Please show me your glory.
Don't you love that question or that statement that Moses made to God? Please show me your glory. So, the children of Israel have sinned, and we're going to start off in Exodus 33 this morning, as soon as I bring us all up to snuff with what's been transpiring. So, Exodus 33:13 in particular. But the children of Israel had sinned because they did what? Worshipped a golden calf. After having seen God perform miracle after miracle. And we might say, that's just amazing. Well, then I think of my life. Okay? What do I do? Do I doubt? Do I veer? After having seen miracle after miracle, after the biggest miracle being salvation. So God told Moses, who was up with on Mount Sinai with God for 40 days and 40 nights, and God was giving Moses the instructions, the commandments on how to build the tabernacle. And he said, go down to the camp because the people have corrupted themselves. So Moses went down to the camp, and he saw this horrific worship of a golden idol. And he basically, as I said last week, drew a line in the sand and said, all who are on the Lord's side, come to me. And the children of the tribe of Levi came to Moses. And he says, thus says the Lord. He said, thus says the Lord. Let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp. He's telling the Levites this. And he said, kill every man, your brother, your companion, and your neighbor. And about 3,000 people fell that day. Don't we see a lot of these things happening in Scripture? A lot of killings, a lot of plagues coming upon people for just reasons, for justified, totally justified reasons, because of God's righteous anger. Because he laid it out before them, what to do, what not to do, and they rebelled. We see this from Genesis 3 and on. Okay, so Paul, as I mentioned for a couple weeks, told the Roman church to consider the goodness and the severity of God. And that verse always comes to mind when I read passages like this. So Moses and the people saw God's severity that day, didn't they? But you know what? Bless you. God showed his holiness that day. God showed his judgment that day. And judgment had to fall because God must deal with sin. So we looked at Moses pleading with God last week, and we had great interaction, and I'm hoping for great interaction today. Because we were saying what about Moses pleading with God, that he was seemingly at odds with what was going on, and anxious, and maybe even a bit confused, but that when God spoke with Moses, God was very calm. And we said that everything that Moses said to God was, remember this, God, you know, you should do this, this, if you do this, this will happen. And what was one of the nuggets that we should have taken away from the class last week? When you say God, when you see God talking to Moses in this way, not the calmness so much, but Moses reminding God, and then God's response. And did we say, well, God changed his mind? No. Because what God decrees is going to happen. God doesn't change his mind. He's immutable. That's one of his attributes. And when we study the glory of God, the glory means weightiness, all that God is, which includes all his attributes. First Patty and then Craig.
I've just been studying the book of Jonah.
Okay, you got to talk a little louder.
I've been studying the book of Jonah in my amazing collection. And God relented and didn't.
That word relented means grieved. You find it in Genesis 5 and 6.
He didn't kill the people of Nineveh because they did.
But relented sounds like we could read that and say, well, God is back, taking a back step, and he's changing his mind. But we always need to go to those passages where he says, I am the Lord, I change not.
Right.
So does God contradict, does your God contradict himself? You hope not? He doesn't.
He doesn't. But I can tell you that what we're being taught is that he relented, and they haven't talked about it. It's just meaning grieved.
Who's teaching? You don't have to name names, but I mean, you've heard teaching along
so
those lines?
Thursday morning Bible study that I come to, and we're doing an amazing collection, and each week we do a different book of the Bible. And this week it's Jonah.
Okay, if you're hearing this, just take note of it and then find those verses, because if God changes his mind, we're in a big, big trouble.
Right.
Okay?
Well, I mean, the Bible does say relent.
But see, go to lexicons and go to the original.
It means grieved.
It means grieved. Had sorrow over. God is, you know, we're made in the image of God. We're made according, you know, because of our will, intellect, and emotions. That's what it talks about as far as being made in the image of God, because God has intellect, a will, and emotions. So we see the emotions of God throughout the Bible. But, you know, there are very many voices. Just because, and I don't know much about the Amazing series. I've heard good things about it. Check what you're reading out. Check it out. Because there's a lot out there that, under the banner of evangelical Christianity, and I'm not coming down on the Amazing series right here, you know,
But he did not
But that was, don't you think, is God a God that plans? He is a God of planning and purpose. So God knew this. He knows the end from the beginning. So we don't steer God. Okay? He wants us to pray to him, and that's where there could be some consternation. You know, like MacArthur said, don't let your theology ruin your prayer life. We are to, even though we know God's will is intact and will not change.
Supposedly Jonah wrote the book of Jonah. And so they said that he's making a comment on himself. And so.
I don't know. I don't know if I, agree. Craig and then Rob.
I think a lot of times God is doing this for our benefit. He already knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
The time has passed. So it's parallel kind of like to Abraham and Isaac. You know, take him out there and you're going to offer him as a sacrifice. And then it seems at the last moment you relented. Well, he knew ahead of time what he was doing.
Right.
He was doing this just for Abraham's benefit. Same thing here. It sounds like Moses talked God out of destroying the nation of Israel, but he didn't do that. God already knew what he was going to do. He just did it so Moses could understand what was going on.
But we hear teachings that are not, and I get grieved over that. And again, that's why I like the interaction so much, because if I'm saying something that's striking you as being heretical or whatever, we need to talk about it, and I need to know that maybe I said something, perhaps I said something, and my mind needs to be changed. Prayer is going to change us. Prayer is to change us, and let's face it, we cannot exhaust the Bible this side of heaven, that's for sure. And we don't have, we're finite. But we do have principles in the Bible that are steadfast and true. And if I were to weigh in on the part where relenting means God changed his mind, I probably sit in a closet and not look at Fox anymore, Fox News, or listen to the radio, because it would be horrific. Which blows me away when I think of, you know, my non-believing friends, etc., family. When they watch the news and everything is, you know, they don't chew their fingernails. So it's deception going out there. But be careful. Just be careful.
Repented.
Repented. Okay. Check it in lexicon. If you don't know Blue Letter Bible online, go to Blue Letter Bible. I mean, if you have a Strong's Concordance, you can look it up. But I find that Blue Letter Bible is just easier to go to. It's faster.
I'm sorry, Strong's is like really big.
Yeah, and you can, it's very much a handy-dandy tool, okay? Rob?
I was just going to say that God did destroy Nineveh, but just not at that time.
Not that generation.
You know, in the prophet Nahum talks about their destruction. So because they had, as a people, repented, and the king sent out the edict to everybody, hey, you know, fast and put on sackcloth and sit on ashes. And there was a short-term thing where they did repent and come back, but then they kind of slid back into the sin that they did. And it's the same kind of thing for us. I mean, we might have a great holy Sunday today,
right,
and by Thursday we could be right back in the crud.
Yeah. Right.
And so all these things are a reminder to us, like you said, that we need to trust in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just that these people from who were not killed in the camp of Israel, they repented, and they were mournful and sorrowful, and it seemed very genuine, but then, you know, 40 years transpires, and there's a lot of kvetching, a lot of complaining, a lot of backbiting.
It just really shows the humanity.
It does,
right?
Yeah.
And it just continues on with us today.
Mm-hmm. So that's where our eyes need to be focused, on God always, and not on man versus man.
And I did read that eventually Nineveh was later on.
Yeah, yeah.
They were the Assyrians who had been so horrible to the
Israelites. Right, yeah. So there are other verses. Like I said, go to Genesis and see when God chose to send the universal flood, how he felt about that. It's going to be the same verbiage, you know. So,
Gabby, I just looked up Lent in my Bible, and it said in Jeremiah 15:6, he says, "You who have forsaken me, declares the Lord, you keep going backward. So I will stretch out my hand against you and destroy you. I am tired of relenting." He's tired of grieving, I guess, for, you know, people.
Because God is merciful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that verse?
Jeremiah 15:6.
Thank you.
Okay. I want to look it up. Let's look up Jeremiah 15:6. Because what translation is that, Troy?
It's the
That makes a difference too, the translation.
Yeah. I don't even have the word in my dictionary.
New American Standard.
Oh, well, that's solid. So Jeremiah 15:6. Mine is New King James. I'm going to go back to, well, says, now, knowing that the little titles over the chapters are not inspired, that's the editor's choice, but it says, the Lord will not relent. Then the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind would not be favorable toward this people, cast them out of my sight. You know what? It's going to take too much time to go through this, but it's worth going through in your study time. What I'm going to leave you with is, know who God is. The whole purpose of this series is the glory of God, regarding the glory of God, is to know who God is. And if you've got, you don't want to be like one of my Jewish friends who, in one of the studies, now she's not a believer, but she's come back at me several times to say, no virgin birth, no virgin birth. Our rabbis say that there's no virgin birth. No, let me go. She said that, but more original sin. Let's go to the original sin side. So, no original sin. So I show her Psalm 51. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. I was brought forth in iniquity, okay? So she said, yeah, but our rabbi. And I said, okay, you got God and your rabbi. I don't even have to ask the question. And her response was, so, and we don't want to have that. This is, you know, in our group, you've got God saying, I do not change, and saying it multiple times, know the context, know the history, know the big picture of Scripture? Are you going to say, well, it says it here, but yet God is saying, I do not change, and where are you going to stand? Okay.
Can I just read this? This makes perfect sense to what you're saying. It says, since God knew that Nineveh would ultimately reject his word and would turn to even greater wickedness than before, the prediction of destruction is given in absolute form.
Yeah.
So he didn't change.
Right.
At all.
Right.
Just
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And two, there's another, he used Jonah in spite of Jonah, which is another principle that we see from the book of Jonah.
If you kind of flip this on the opposite side, we're talking about, did God change his mind? Did God say, I'm going to punish, and then he does it, and then he eventually does. The other side of it would be, God says he is going to ultimately win. So do we want to believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Right now, it looks like the world's going to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
God says he's going to win. Do we want to believe that?
Right, right.
You know, if
just because of the circumstances
now. We have to go with
now.
What he
yeah.
says.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So, okay, so where were we? I'm really, this is interesting, this whole,
interesting.
This morning, even going back hours ago. Okay. Let's do this. Let's go to Exodus 33. And I'm going to forget all the introduction. Exodus 33, 13 rather. Exodus 33, 13. And you're there already and I'm not. And it says, Moses is speaking, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way. We read this last week, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. So again, Moses is reminding God, but Moses is finite, God is infinite. And look at verse 14. Now, because what I said last week still holds true. I didn't change my mind about that because Kathy changes. Kathy changes. I have used whiteout in my Bible when I have written in ink, and then I didn't agree with my note. And so now I don't write. I try not to write in ink. I use lead pencil. But when Moses said, show me now your way, God doesn't answer that request. And verse 14 says, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Right? Going back to that I may know you, verse 13, doesn't Moses already know God? I mean, Moses was called from the burning bush. When the angel of the Lord called out to Moses from the burning bush, and angel of the Lord being God, as we had looked at several weeks ago. And God spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai, 40 days, 40 nights. Moses saw God's glory when he was up on Mount Sinai with the 70 elders. And look at the encounters that Moses had in that little tent of meeting that Moses pitched, his own tent, when sin was in the camp and God said, I'm not going up in the midst of you. If I go up in the midst of you, I will consume you, because he's holy. God is holy, has to deal with sin. And Moses took his little tent, I'm saying little, I'm picturing it as little, his tent, and went outside the camp, and God met with Moses there. At the end of Exodus, we read when the tabernacle was completed, nobody could go inside because God's glory filled the tabernacle in the wilderness. But yet, when Moses went out to that tent, God met him at the doorway. And it says Moses entered the tent and God spoke to Moses face to face. And that tent was such a beautiful picture of God's grace and God's desire to communicate and to extend mercy. And just the picture in reading that in Exodus 33, where the people who had sinned so grossly stood at their doors and watched Moses go to that tent and saw God, the glory of God, commune with Moses. it's just a glorious picture. But now show me your way. Show me your way. God doesn't answer. But he says that I might know you.
My thought on Moses' request.
Which one? Which request? Show me your way?
Show me. Mm-hmm. Even though he's been through all of that. Even though he's experienced so much. In correlation to we being the same human being, how many times has God shown himself to us, and yet again we ask him, show me what you want. Show me what you want. Show me
continually.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even though he's had that depth, he's still Moses being a human being.
Mm-hmm.
May need that reminder yet again.
Yeah, and I think though, and I'm totally on the same page with you, Abilene, but I think with show me your way, because God says show me your way, Moses wants God to convey God's reasoning for this. And you know, then I go back to Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways. I think that the secret things belong to God, and things revealed belong to us. So there, we see what's going on in California, what's going on elsewhere, and does the little three-letter word why pop into our minds at times? And we're baffled by, okay, God, what are you doing and why? But we need to accept more than anything else. We just need to accept it from being from the hand of a good Father, a good God. And that's why when Moses says, please show me your glory, God, what does he do? He says, I will let all my goodness pass.
And I'm thinking, with all the tragedy that we hear about and that we see on the television, we tend to focus so much on the tragedy and that it's happening and why would God allow it, when we totally miss the huge picture in front of us.
Yeah.
As to, we're breathing every day. We're alive every day. The universe is not going into orbit. God gives us so much grace every day.
Every day.
Why? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why? That's why.
Isn't that more great
yes.
than the tragedies that we see
yeah.
that seem so minor that just pales in comparison?
And don't we as human beings like to focus on misery?
We do, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so think of all the stories that people have in paradise and all those places in California that are so glorifying to God and what he's been doing in the midst of what is horrific.